Psalm 23. If not the most familiar passage of Scripture in all of the world, one of the very, very close to the most familiar passage. Sometimes, because a passage like this is so familiar, we may tend not to give it the attention that we ought. It is a significant statement in Scripture. I don't know if how many of you were here 22 years ago when I first came. In January, it'll be 22 years. This is the first thing I preached on, Psalm 23, and I don't remember how many 10 or 12 messages took each one of these statements and preached on them, because I believe that's how significant this particular psalm is. And there's a book out there written about those from those sermons, and you could get a copy and read it. But today we're going to summarize some things from Psalm 23, particularly as they relate to the shepherd himself. For we're studying how God is personally involved in our lives, and this psalm has some important things to tell us about that. So today, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us. Heavenly Father, thank you so very much for all of your word, and for this particular passage as we open our Bibles today to Psalm 23. You tell us about yourself as a shepherd. Help us to see some things about you that are very significant. I see your personal involvement in our lives. Help us to understand and appreciate these things. And on a daily basis, to enjoy the wonderful benefits of your personal involvement in our lives, particularly as a shepherd. Give us understanding, and we pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen. The image of a shepherd is very important to God. It's a special one for him. He uses it both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. We read John chapter 10, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. Here in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. One of the interesting things we notice about this particular psalm is the use of the pronouns as they refer to the shepherd, the pronouns he and thou and thy. It says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. And then it says, thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me, and thou anointest my head with oil. Let's consider these things individually. You'll notice the first part of the psalm speaks about the shepherd and what he does for us. And so it refers to him in the second person. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Green pastures are a wonderful place, a place apparently to lie down, a place to relax, a place to feed and be nourished. But as we consider the elements of this as the Lord as our shepherd, we want to understand the psalm in the context of sheep and the behavior of sheep. We must not just assume the wrong interpretation or application of these things. He uses the metaphor shepherd for a particular reason, because as it says, he maketh me to lie down, then I am supposed to think of myself as a sheep, and how the sheep act and behave and react in all of these things. So when he maketh me to lie down in these green pastures, the question that is raised in my mind, why would sheep not lie down? And there are actually a couple of reasons that sheep do not lie down. One of them is rivalry among the sheep. Not all sheep get along with one another, and some sheep do tend to agitate other sheep. And with this unrest among the sheep, they will not lie down because they're not relaxed. You can see how that works with us. Have you ever known people who could not get along with one another? And tension, right? Have you ever known Christians who could not get along with one another? Unfortunately, we act very much like sheep, don't we? Yeah. Another reason sheep are tense and do not lie down is because of predators that are in the vicinity and make the sheep very uncomfortable. Sheep will not lie down if they sense that there is a predator in the neighborhood. And predators, of course, will come in and grab a sheep, like a wolf or a bear or a lion in the case of David, coming after the sheep. Predator coming after sheep. There are predators today that will come after us, people who will attack us, who will persecute us. And in persecution, it is not a situation conducive to relaxation. But it says, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." Now, it's not an image where the shepherd comes along and grabs a hold of the sheep and folds its legs underneath of it and forces it to lie down. The sense is this, that when the shepherd is present, all the sheep tend to behave themselves pretty well. And there's the sense of protection that prevails so that as the shepherd is present, the predators will stay away. And so it's simply the presence of the shepherd that gives the sheep a sense of comfort and allows them to relax so that it's possible for them to lie down. Isn't that a marvelous picture? It's not the image or metaphor of the shepherd, made me think when I was a child and went to school, there was something about the presence of the teacher in the classroom. You know, when the teacher went out of the classroom and there was no adult in the classroom, there was the potential for chaos. But when that teacher walked in the room, all of that stopped. Just something about the teacher walking. I don't know if that happens today or not, but it did when I was a child. I know firsthand. Well, I guess I was a little participant in the chaos, not too much. But when the teacher walked in the room, we all behaved ourselves. And it's just the idea when we have a sense of the presence of the Savior, when we have a sense of the presence of Christ in our midst, that will affect how we behave. It's when we forget that he's with us all of the time that our flesh takes over and we act silly as Christians and irritate each other. And when we have the presence of Christ in our lives, we have absolute confidence that other people cannot harm us. They might come after us, but he will protect us. And there be some other images in the psalm that address this very thing. The next thing it says is that he leadeth me beside the still waters. Of course, sheep will not drink from agitated waters. They want to drink from waters that are still. But the water also is significant. It's something necessary for the survival of the sheep. Water, in a physical sense, is necessary for our survival. You can go a lot longer without food than you can go without water. Water is essential to your survival. Scientific American records that some people have survived without food as up all the way up to 73 days. That's a long time without food. Ranges anywhere from 28 to 30 to 73 days without food. But for water, death occurs anywhere from 3 to 10 days. 10 days is the outside that's been recorded as far as people surviving without water. Water is absolutely essential to your survival. Now, it doesn't, in this case, it doesn't say he maketh me drink the waters. He just simply leads me beside the still waters. I have to choose to drink. And isn't that the way it is with the gospel? We can lead people to the gospel, but they have to drink it. There's an image that goes along with this in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Now, in the first part, where he maketh me lie down in green pastures, I really don't see that as him taking hold of the sheep and forcing it down. It's telling us he makes it possible for me to lie down. He creates the environment, takes me to the environment in which it's possible for me to relax, and then leads me beside the still waters. But in those cases, I have to decide, am I going to lie down? Am I going to drink or not? I have to choose. In the next one, he says, he restoreth my soul. The need for restoration in the case of a sheep is described as a sheep being cast. The term cast, in reference to a sheep, describes a sheep that is stuck on its back. You see, a sheep does not have the agility to roll over and get back on its feet when it's on its back. It's stuck. And if someone doesn't come along, if the shepherd doesn't find the cast sheep and literally turn it over, the sheep will die. A cast sheep cannot survive because a cast sheep cannot get up on its own. Psalm 42, verse 11, David said, why art thou cast down, O my soul? I don't think in that particular case David was in the condition of being unsaved, but we, like a cast sheep, need to be set in an upright position or we will not survive, and that is more aptly described in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, who were dead in trespasses and sins. So when the sheep is restored, the sheep is set in an upright position. And I think here we have Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 and 20. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. We are able to stand boldly in the very presence of God, unashamed, because he has set us in an upright position. In John chapter 5 and verse 24, it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. I think the restoration here is really a statement regarding the salvation of the shepherd provides. For a cast sheep is a condemned sheep, and unless a savior comes along, a shepherd comes along and sets it upright, it will not survive. There's a difference between being cast and lying down. Lying down, the sheep lies down, it has its feet under it, and it can set itself up on its feet, but cast, it's on its back, and it's done. And we can be glad that there is a shepherd who will come if we will call upon his name and set us upright so that we can stand in his presence. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness, having restored us. God then leads us on paths of righteousness. It's an interesting thing about sheep. Sheep are followers. If they do not have a leader, sheep don't know where to go and cannot figure it out on their own. When a shepherd wants to move his sheep from one place to another, you do not herd sheep like you do cattle. You know, you have the image of the cowboys riding their horses and herding the sheep. On the old cattle drives, they would move as many as 3,000 to 5,000 cows at one time for a couple of hundred miles and drive them to the train depot and ship them east for meat. And they would be all around behind the cattle driving them. Well, you try to do that to sheep. You get behind sheep and you try to drive them, and sheep are going to go whoop. They don't get it. But if the shepherd stands right in front of them and walks, the sheep will follow. What a wonderful image of the Lord Jesus Christ leading us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake, having restored us to an upright position so that we can stand boldly in his presence. He then will lead us in the way that we ought to go. Jesus is not our buddy, he is our leader. I think in the crassness of our contemporary world, people try to make Jesus out to be much less than he really is. As if he is simply some companion as we find our own way through this world. He's our buddy, they say. No. Jesus is our leader. And we won't find our way without him leading. We won't walk on the right path unless he shows us what that path is. Have you ever driven to some destination with someone else and you didn't know where you were going, and so they said, I'll show you the way, and they get in a car and they drive, and you get in your car and you follow them? And if you lose sight of them, what happens? You don't know where to go. You're lost. It's absolutely imperative that you keep them in sight. And that's exactly the image that we have here. Jesus, as the shepherd, is the leader. He's on the path of righteousness. We need to keep him in sight. We will always be on the right path if we keep him in sight. He will never lead us astray. He will never lead us back into sin. He will never lead us in the wrong way. He'll always lead us in the right path. And the Holy Spirit, the same. John chapter 16 and verse 13 says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Now, the next part of the psalm changes. Instead of speaking about the shepherd and referring to him in the second person, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. And he leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now, the psalmist David begins to address God personally. And he says, thou art with me, speaking directly to the shepherd. The presence of the shepherd is the most stabilizing element in a sheep's life. And the permanent presence of God in a believer's life is an extremely important factor. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 says, Christ liveth in me. If we could grasp that and hang on to that and be conscious of that every moment of our lives, that Christ liveth in me, and he is with me all the time, and he keeps his promise that he'll never leave me or forsake me, that his presence will be such a stabilizing effect in our lives. With the presence of the Savior, you see, death becomes only a shadow. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Death has no real effect on this particular sheep because death itself becomes only a shadow. Do you know where shadows come from? Every time you have a shadow, it indicates that there's something that is there making the shadow. It's light. Did you know you can't have a shadow without light? It would just be all darkness. A shadow always indicates that light is shining. And when it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, with death being now only a shadow, it means that the light of the shepherd, the light of God, is shining. It's bright. It's there. And so it eliminates fear altogether. The presence, I will not fear, for thou art with me. I have nothing to be afraid of because of the presence of the Savior. Death itself becomes only a shadow with no real substance. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. There is nothing for us to fear. No condemnation. Death is only a shadow. The reality is the light of God shines and I walk in the light. And death becomes only a shadow. Nothing to be afraid of. Another reason I'm not afraid is because thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now, the rod is a weapon. The rod was used in two different ways. It was used against predators. When David said that he struck the bear and he struck the lion, remember how he grabbed the hold of the beard of the lion and then struck it on the head? He probably used his rod. It was a defensive weapon. But the rod was also used on the sheep as a corrective instrument. For he would prick the sheep if they got off the path and weren't paying attention. You know, sheep are followers, but if they don't pay attention, if they get distracted, they will wander off. You know the image of Isaiah chapter 53, all we like sheep have gone astray. It's so easy. And the rod is used to keep the sheep on the path. So both as a defensive weapon and as a corrective instrument. But the staff was used by the shepherd for himself. The staff was used for stability. Some of the terrain on which the shepherd would lead the sheep was uneven. And, you know, how many of you use a walking stick? Any of you use a walking stick? Yeah. Okay, when you go for a hike, you use a walking stick or a cane. It provides stability, keeps you from falling. That's the idea of the staff. And so as long as the shepherd is carrying the staff, you have confidence the shepherd's not going to fall down. It's for stability. So consider, I have absolute confidence that there's not going to be any effect from outside predators because the shepherd has a rod. I have confidence that unruly, agitating, or disrespectful sheep are going to be kept in line because the shepherd has a rod. And I have absolute confidence that the shepherd's not going to fall down because he has a staff. And therefore, I am comforted. Thy rod and thy staff comfort me. It provides relief from tension and brings comfort. And the sheep are most comfortable when there is no tension. So, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation." 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 9 says, "We're persecuted, but not forsaken." And Hebrews 13:8, "Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever." We have absolute confidence that Jesus Christ will take care of those sources that potentially will bring stress and discomfort to our lives, and that he himself will never falter, and we are comforted by this. Then he says, "Thou preparest a table before me." Now, the term table here refers to a feast table. On this particular table, there is abundance. Psalm 36, verses 7 and 8 say, "How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God! Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures." Have we enjoyed abundance from the hand of God? Oh, I know we talk about the faltering economy and how tight things are becoming for us, but isn't that all relative, really? I mean, when you think about it, the things that we have, the things we enjoy, the things we're able to do in this country in particularly, don't we have an abundance of things? But more than that, don't we have an abundance of spiritual blessings in our lives? Isn't the grace of God more than sufficient for all of our needs? Aren't his mercies renewed every day? Aren't the fruit of the Spirit marvelous and overflowing with the love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance that he fills our life with? The blessings of God absolutely are abundant. He fills our table full of a feast, both of temporal and spiritual blessings. But then we notice that this particular table is in the presence of our enemies. Now, it doesn't say that the enemies are at the table. It simply says that the table is in the same place as our enemies. Why would God set a feast for us in the same place as our enemies are? Well, I think this indicates for us that many times God's greatest blessings come to our lives in our times of greatest adversity. When we experience the most difficulty is exactly when he wants to bless us, to fill our lives with strength and courage and hope and joy in spite of what's going on around us. Psalm 78:19. Would you go over to Psalm 78 and verse 19? Psalm 78, verse 19. "Yea, they spake against God and said, Can God furnish a table in the wilderness?" Now, he's referring to the Israelites in the wilderness. And it's interesting how they use the word table here. Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? And what did God do? Verse 20, "Behold, he smote the rock that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed." Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? Well, you know what happened. He gave them manna and they were filled every day. Can God provide a table in the wilderness. When you are having trouble, when you're having difficulty, when you're having trials, when you're sick, whatever is going on that seems so negative, this is pressure, this is adversity, this is tough, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. Can God give you a feast in the midst of that? Well, this psalm assures you that he can and he does. He prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. In your greatest adversity, he blesses you many times in the most abundant ways. And then he says, thou anointest my head with oil. Now, the commentaries are all over the map with this oil, and most of them miss the mark, I think, because, again, we have to think, he's talking about sheep. What does oil have to do with sheep? Well, there was a particular oil that the shepherd would use to pour on the head of sheep because there are a lot of insects and other things that affect the eyes, the nose, the mouth, and the ears of the sheep. A sheep does not have a tail that can flap around and clear its head. It's a little awkward for a sheep to get one of its hoofs up to its head and knock things away. A sheep is pretty much defenseless as far as its head and face is concerned. And so things get in its eyes, and things get in its ears, and its nose, and its mouth, and it has a hard time dealing with this. And there was an oil that the shepherd would pour over the head of the sheep that would disinfect the sheep from all of these things that could cause infection and disease. And made me think, God is always fixing things in our lives. Even things that may be no fault of our own, just the consequences of an imperfect world. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, you know it. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was touched in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Have you ever gone to God and asked for help? Have you ever gotten it? Absolutely. Because he's always fixing things in our lives, always helping us, always compensating for things that are affecting us. Many things that aren't our fault. We just live in an imperfect world, and there are things that affect us in an adverse way. And the shepherd is there to help us, pouring oil on our face to heal us, to prevent things from affecting us, and helping us. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10, God said to him, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Imagine that. God's strength is made perfect in weakness. So Paul says, in reaction to that, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure. Imagine that. I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Because the shepherd is there, ready to pour oil on whatever is wrong to fix it and to help me. God makes it possible for me to lie down. God provides what is needed to sustain my life. God restores me to an upright position before him. God is in the lead and always points my life in the right direction. God is always with me and removes any reason for me to be afraid. God protects me from outside intruders and protects me from agitated Christians and corrects me when I get out of line. God blesses me richly, even in the most trying of times. And God is constantly fixing things in my life, whether they are my fault or not. With all of this, truly, our cup is overflowing. How important is the shepherd? I found this poem. It's not necessarily about the shepherd, but about the Savior. It gives the same sense as the significance of Psalm 23. Written by Anna Olander, it says this: "If I gained the world but lost the Savior, were my life worth living for a day? Could my yearning heart find rest and comfort in the things that soon must pass away? If I gained the world but lost the Savior, would my gain be worth the lifelong strife? Are all earthly pleasures worth comparing for a moment with a Christ-filled life? Had I wealth and love in fullest measure and a name revered both far and near, yet no hope beyond, no harbor waiting where my storm-tossed vessel I could steer. If I gained the world but lost the Savior who endured the cross and died for me, could then all the world afford a refuge whither in my anguish I might flee? Oh, what emptiness without the Savior! Mid the sins and sorrows here below. An eternity, how dark without him. Only night and tears and endless woe. What though I might live without the Savior when I come to die, how would it be? Oh, to face the valley's gloom without him, and without him all eternity. Oh, the joy of having all in Jesus. What a balm, the broken heart to heal. Ne'er a sin so great, but he'll forgive it, nor a sorrow that he does not feel. If I have but Jesus, only Jesus, nothing else in all the world beside. Oh, then everything is mine in Jesus, for my needs and more. He will provide." And as the psalm says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the wonderful truth of this psalm, how it comforts us to know the presence of the shepherd and his personal involvement in our lives. Lord, for those who are troubled today, unable to lie down, uncertain of those who would trouble them, agitated by others, hurting in one way or another, and fearful of shadows, help them to see the presence of the shepherd. Help them to lie down, to drink, to sense the restoration of their soul, to see the path of righteousness, to be comforted by the watchful care of the shepherd, and sense your blessing. Though trials may surround them, may the table of blessing be a source of comfort and refreshing today. May our cups overflow. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.